We are working our way through the life of Jacob. And we come this morning to Genesis chapter 32 and verses 1 to 21. Looking this morning at two camps. In Genesis 32, Jacob's eyes are opened. And Jacob sees an army encamped around him. This army is the army of God. It's his holy angels, his servants, the messengers sent from heaven. Here in Genesis 32, there is the heavenly realm, the spiritual realm, and Jacob, for a moment, gets to see it. Here is the man that God has chosen. He's with his family. He's about to face possibly his greatest danger, his brother Esau. And God gives him a glimpse of what is going on in the heavenly realm. God lets him see for a time the spiritual forces that are on his side. Genesis 32 is all about two camps. There is, of course, the camp of Jacob. We have his family, and they're making their way back to the promised land. But before they come into the promised land, they must first of all meet Esau. They must face another camp. The camp of Esau and his 400 men. This is the brother that Jacob cheated. This is the brother who was last heard breathing out murderous threats against Jacob. Esau's camp is 400 strong. There are two camps in the world. There's the camp of Jacob, God's covenant people. There's the camp of Esau, those outside of the covenant family. Two camps. But there are also two camps when we look at Jacob and when we look at God. And Jacob gets to see the spiritual. There is, of course, the physical camp, the physical representation of God's people on earth. But there's also another camp, a spiritual reality, a heavenly reality. And here God has his army. God has what is normally unseen. This theme of two camps, it dominates this section in Genesis 32. And so this morning, we want to look at the theme of two camps. And I want us to see that these camps are here for our encouragement. We are God's people here on earth. We are like Jacob. And we have two camps in this world. There's the church, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And then there's the world. Those who set themselves against the church. But also for us this morning, there's the church, Christ's physical representation here on earth. But there's also a spiritual realm. There's a heavenly realm. And this morning, I want us to see the second camp. I want us to see that there is a heavenly host, that God is encamped around his people. Because of these two camps, we can move forward with confidence. Because of the camps that we're going to be looking at this morning, we can take our stand for Christ and his kingdom. This morning, as we look at the theme of two camps, we will see that Christ has promised he will never leave us or forsake us. But that being in his kingdom, we are protected. We are kept safe. The church is secure. He shows us goodness. He shows us steadfast love. So this morning, let us come to Mahanaim. Mahanaim means two camps. Let us come to the place of two camps. Let us find our encouragement. We see firstly here the camp of God and the camp of Jacob. The camp of God and the camp of Jacob. We see it in verses 1 and 2. All we are told is that the angels of God met Jacob. Jacob has left Laban, his father-in-law. He's on his way home. And he's unsure what sort of reception he will be greeted with. Jacob didn't leave with the warm wishes of Esau. Before meeting Esau, God is going to open Jacob's eyes. This is a supernatural experience. For Jacob, it's not a unique experience. Three times he's going to see the presence of God. He saw it back in Bethel, that vision of the stairway, heaven opened and the angels ascending and descending. Next week, God willing, we will see that he's going to wrestle with God. And here, he has another vision. His eyes are opened. It's not normal. It's supernatural. We're not given any details of this vision, but we know that the angels are there. And then Jacob says, this is God's camp. The word camp is a military term. It's an army that have pitched their tents on the battlefield. And they're gathered together. And they're ready to go out. They're ready to fight. That's what the word camp means here. We don't know how many angels Jacob saw, but we can assume it's a large army. In many ways, it's similar to another incident that happens later on in the Old Testament. Elisha, the prophet of God, and his servant in 2 Kings chapter 6, and verse 17. The king of Syria has gathered his army and he's about to advance on the king of Israel. And he says to his men, who is with the king of Israel? And his men say, there is only Elisha the prophet. Elisha's servant can see the Syrian army and he's scared. But Elisha prays that God will open up the eyes of his servant. And God opens up the eyes of Elisha's servant and he looks and on top of the hills that there's a host of God's army, angels with horses and chariots of fire. And he's encouraged because God is with his people. God is protecting his people. He's surrounding his people. God's angels, his soldiers, his holy ones, they fill the landscape. And this is what Jacob sees. Jacob gets to see it with his eyes. God is saying, I am infinitely more numerous. I am infinitely more powerful than anything you will face, Jacob. I am the God of hosts. And I am with you. There is protection here for Jacob beyond what he could measure. And this army has always been with him. They have always been there. It's just Jacob can't see them. We can't see them. But they've been with Jacob all the time when he left the promised land to go up to Haran. All the time that he was in Haran with his father-in-law Laban. All the time that he's been fleeing back to the promised land, they have been there. God has protected his servant. God has been with his servant. And they will continue to be with Jacob. But for this moment, God is placing his visible protection before the very eyes of Jacob. And he says to Jacob, I am still the God of Bethel. I am still the God who protects you. I am still the God who goes before you. I am still the God who is with you. I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. Jacob gets a glimpse into the spiritual realm. And he sees that there are two camps. There's the reality of what he can see on earth. The physical covenant family. And at times it can look threatened. At times it can look small. At times it can look as though that this camp on earth is headed into danger. But then God says, Jacob, there is a second camp. The heavenly one. The spiritual realm. A reality that cannot be seen, but is always there. God protecting his people, the glorious angelic host guarding and watching over the servants of God. Mahanaim, it means two camps, the camp of God, the camp of Jacob. Then secondly, we see the camp of Esau and the camp of Jacob. The camp of Esau and the camp of Jacob. Jacob is returning with great uncertainty. He's returning home with great fear. Look at verse 7. After sending a message to Esau, his servants return to Jacob and they tell him that Esau is coming. And Esau is coming with 400 mighty men. So we're told that Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. No wonder. 20 years have passed since Jacob last saw Esau. 20 years. The last words that Jacob heard from Esau, or heard that Esau had spoken, were, I'm going to kill Jacob. Those were the last words. For 20 years, those threatening words have been ringing in the ears of Jacob. Maybe Esau's anger has subsided a little. Maybe Esau's going to be a little bit more favorable to me. Well, Jacob was promised by his mother Rebekah that when Esau's anger had subsided, she would send word to Jacob so that Jacob would know it was safe to come home. 20 years. No word. And now Esau is coming. And Esau has 400 men with him. A camp is advancing towards Jacob. There's no reason for Jacob to believe that anything has changed in Esau's mind and heart. I will kill Jacob. We're even reminded about Esau here in verse 3. We're told that he was living in the land of Seir. The word Seir, it makes us think of the word hairy. That's what it's there for. It describes that word for us. He's living in Edom. Edom means red. And so even here in verse 3, our minds are made to think back to the person of Esau. and the character of Esau. Here is the hunter, the one living out in the country, the one who is hairy and red, the one who is anger, the one who wants to murder his brother, the one who is separated from his brother, the one outside the covenant. So even here, Moses, when he was recording this history, is writing it in such a way that we are reminded this is a different camp. This is a different person to Jacob. He's coming with 400 men. There's danger for Jacob. It's interesting that Jacob didn't have to go through this land to get back home. He could have gone around. He could have gone home another route. But Jacob, and we'll think about this briefly later on, but Jacob is going to make restoration. He wants reconciliation with Esau. But as Esau approaches, we are reminded there are two camps in this world. There's the covenant family, and there are those outside the covenant. There's the seed of the woman, the promised seed, the one through whom blessing is going to come. And there's the seed of the serpent. In this world, there is the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and there are those outside the kingdom. There is the church, there is the world, and there's enmity between these two. There's a division between these two. There are only two camps in this world, and we are in one of them, or we are in the other one. There's no middle ground. And friends, we live in this world as the Church of Christ. And we are surrounded every day by those who are outside of Christ's kingdom. There are two camps. Jacob is reminded of this reality. And so Jacob makes preparation. And this brings us, thirdly, to the two camps of Jacob. The two camps of Jacob. When Jacob hears of Esau coming, he seems to forget that the encampment of God that is with him. Jacob becomes greatly afraid and distressed. He divides his family into two groups. His thinking is that if one group is attacked, the other one will have time to escape. Now, commentators differ on whether this is sensible action or it's actions of a lack of faith. Some say that Jacob realized that God's protection was there, but he also knew that it was wise for him to divide his family in two. It's natural precautions. Jacob has a responsibility to do all that he can do. And so he makes a contingency plan. Some say it's a wise procedure in the case of danger. Others say, no, Jacob here is going back to his untrusting ways. This is scheming Jacob, dividing his family in two, sending extravagant gifts to Esau. He's still the cheat and the deceiver. He's still the crafty one, not trusting in the providential care that God has promised. I think we see both in this section. Jacob dividing his family in two, it occurs just after he hears that Jacob is coming with 400 men. We're told that Jacob is greatly afraid. He has, for a moment, forgotten about the army of God. He has for a moment forgotten that God is protecting him, keeping him safe. And so perhaps he is rash in dividing his family in two. But even in that action of dividing his family in two, it's a reminder to him of the two camps that he saw. Mahanaim. The two camps. And then in verses 9 to 12, we have Jacob praying. After dividing his family in two, he prays. And in this prayer, we see a man of faith. We see a man claiming the promises of the covenant. We see a man strengthened in prayer. And then after praying, I think he does what is wise. He then sends gifts to Esau. But he does it knowing that God is with him. The first action of dividing the family in two, it's perhaps a quick response that shows a lack of faith. But the second action, it is done after meeting with God and praying to God and then seeking reconciliation with his brother. Let's look at Jacob's prayer. These verses capture for us the outburst of Jacob's heart. Here's a good pattern for prayer. Jacob approaches God reverently. The covenant God. The God of promise. The God of Abraham. The God of Isaac. This is the personal God who comes to his people. The God who has revealed himself to Abraham and Isaac. The God who's revealed himself to Jacob. And friends, Jacob here is approaching his God. The God that he has a relationship with. The God that he knows and trusts. He approaches him reverently. That's what we are to do in prayer. Jacob then reminds God of his covenant promises. The promise of Bethel. The promise given in Haran, that God has promised that he will be with him, that God will do him good as he returns to the land, that God will bless him. He reminds God of the covenant promises. And then Jacob brings to mind the past blessings that he has experienced from God's hand. And he acknowledges that he's not worthy of any of this. He says, I'm not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love. He acknowledges that God has blessed him greatly, that he can look on his family on these two camps. And he can say, God, you have blessed me. You've provided me with so much that I can even now divide my family in two. You've been with me. I don't deserve it. And then Jacob entrusts himself into God's keeping. He prays for deliverance. He says that he's fearful. But he throws himself on the protection of God. And he finishes by reminding himself and God of the promises that have been made. The two camps of Jacob are a reminder to him that he must come to God, the God of covenant. He must come to the one that he can trust in. He must come to the one who has blessed him richly. And Jacob has nothing to fear, because God has promised that he will do him good. God has promised that he will make his offspring as numerous as the sand of the sea. And it's only after Jacob approaches God, it's only after he comes to God that he sends these five sets of gifts off to Esau. It's only when Jacob in this prayer has met with his Father in heaven, that he prepares for the meeting with Esau. Two camps. It's the camp of God, the camp of Jacob. There's the camp of Esau, the camp of Jacob. And then there's Jacob dividing his family in two. And it's a reminder to him that he must come to God. Trust in the God of covenant and the God of blessing. And he can rely on this God. So where does that leave us this morning? Well, there are two kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom of Christ. There's the kingdom of the devil. We are either in Christ's camp or we're outside it. If we are outside Christ's camp, then we're in the tents of wickedness. There are only two kingdoms, and we belong to one or to the other one. And there's division between these camps. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, we are told, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." We must realize that we're in a battle. And there's a spiritual battle raging. We can't see the heavenly realms, but we know they exist. God has promised us. God has promised that for all who are Christ's, we are cared for. We are protected. Just as the angels encamped around Jacob. Just as the angels encamped around the Son of God. So the angels encamp around us, his church. He is with us. As you go to your place of work this week, he is with you. He is encamped around you. We may not see the heavenly realm, but it's there. He's protecting us. As you go to care for a loved one, as you go to face that difficulty this week, as you go and to work and you know there's going to be this issue that you have to deal with, there are two camps. And he's with you. And he's upholding you. The God of Jacob. Jacob, that man who was a cheat, a swindler, who at times lacked faith, he always had God's protection, God's keeping, God's care. And if you're in Christ's family, if you're in Christ's camp, then this protection is yours. And friends, that should encourage us. It should fill us with awe and wonder and worship. God protects us in such a wonderful way. But if we are not in Christ's camp, then we are against him. If we're not in Christ's camp, then we will have to face God's judgment someday. And so your first priority is to be found in the camp of God, in the kingdom of Christ. Coming to him, confessing to him, trusting in Christ alone. Which camp are you in this morning? Which camp are you a part of? Where do you stand? If you're in Christ's camp, then God has shown you steadfast love. We are the undeserving ones. And yet through Christ he's called us to himself. And in Christ he protects us. And we know that there will be enmity between the church and the world. But notice here also that Jacob sought to have no reason for Esau to hate him. Jacob wanted to live in the world in good relations with the second camp, with the camp of Esau. And that's why he sends these gifts along. Jacob desires to live at peace with Esau. He wants to have a good rapport with Esau. He wants to be well thought of by Esau. He wants to put things right with Esau. And as Christ's people, as we live in the world, and as we are protected by God, we are still to seek to live at peace with the second camp. We are still called on to seek reconciliation where we can. But we are also to know that the world will hate us because they hated Christ. But friends, we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear as we live for Christ in this world, because his angels encamp around us. And he is the God of promise. Amen.